Do I work for a small company, a big company, startup, or corporation? That's what we're going to be talking about today.
Have you ever felt?
Are you listening?
You're listening to the People in Tech Podcast, a technology show that's made for the people. Join the conversation with your host, Caleb King.
What's up, people? Welcome back to the show. It's your boy. And yes, we are finally in the new studio. And guys, I wish you could see. I know podcast is all about hearing my lovely voice, but I wish you guys could see my new studio. We got the monitors, we got the 72 by 30 desktop, we got the MacBook accessories, we got the brand new headphones. I'm excited. Thank you for being patient for all the day one supporters out there. But today's episode, we're going to get back on track and I'm going to answer a question that I get asked actually more frequently than you would think. Should I work at a startup? Should I work at a big corporation? Small company, big company. And this is something I want to shed some light on because I've had the chance to work in both. I've worked at a company that was 150 people, 300 people. I've worked at organizations with 3,000 people to like 20,000 plus people. So I'm just going to go into details, pros and cons for people in tech about which one you should go with, and depending on where you are in your career, which one might benefit you the most. Let's get into it.
What's up, everyone? It's your girl Sharon. Don't call it a comeback. It's been a while since we dropped a new episode. Thank you, DJ Side Hustle. I love that song. Caleb, where have you been? The people want to know. Give them what they want.
Thank you, Sharon, for calling me out. I appreciate the honesty, and that's why we have you on the show. Again, thank you again, DJ Side Hustle, for keeping it hip, urban, and cool. But long story short, Sharon, I was just in a transition. I was moving, you know, I was helping my mom move. I started watching The Office, and you know, when you get caught up in season like 2 to 5, then you're like, oh man, what is it like season 6 and 7? And then I'm pretty sure I was just watching a lot of YouTube videos. Spider-Man PS4 came out. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, it's really easy if, like, when you don't have the equipment to record an episode, you just find reasons not to do it. And I was doing a few filler episodes on my phone, but it just wasn't the same quality. And every time I wanted to do a quick one on my phone, I was like, the people aren't getting the People in Tech podcast experience. Yeah, like, I know I'm on the go and I want to give you guys content, and I know you come here to not only get informed about the tech we're talking about or hear the people we're interviewing, but, you know, really walk away understanding whatever the topic it is we're discussing for that episode. But at the same time, reason I started this podcast is I didn't want to be a boring tech podcast. I didn't want to talk about tech in a very monotone, lecture-based voice, where in section 1, subsection A, we're going to be talking about cloud security. Like, I didn't want to be one of those podcasts. I want it to be fun. I want to be hip. I want it to be, you know, really a reflection of my personality. So I hope that is a good enough excuse for my day one supporters. In terms of announcements, in terms of shout-outs, we got no shout-outs because we've been on hiatus. We really have no announcements except that I'm back, that we're back in the studio. We're trying to put in work. Thanksgiving is coming up this week, so I hope you guys are prepared for Thanksgiving. I hope you guys have a lovely holidays, but whether it's friends or families or your Friendsgivings, because I know some of you guys are out there, and it's hard for you to get back home. But, yeah. That's pretty much about it, guys. But let's talk about tech. Let's talk about big company, small company. All right, now every company has its pros and cons. If you're like millions of Americans and you're searching for new employment, You've likely spent some time envisioning what opportunities represent. Maybe you weighed private sector versus public sector, corporate versus nonprofit, established versus startup. There are a lot of variables to mull over, and one of the biggest considerations is actual size of the company. What are the pros and the cons of working at a large enterprise? Let's say 30 employees or more versus a small business, which is maybe 3 to 10 employees. So when we're talking about working for the big boys, you know, I even use this podcast as founder of the People in Tech podcast. You got to do a lot of work, and it's only a team of 3. And I mean, it's really a team of 1.5 because the other half, sometimes they're here, sometimes they're not. Sometimes we got to pick up the slack. Sometimes my dog doesn't even want to participate, guys. It is what it is. But when working for the big boys, for starters, you have a tremendous room for growth. With different departments and positions and ever-expanding hierarchy of roles, the sky's the limit. You may start out as an intern and work your way up to high-level management position. There's something truly exciting about being part of a large team with so many different pieces to the puzzle. But of course, it's not all promotions and team projects. There's also a definite downside of joining a large team. Some people just thrive in a small group environment, and that's okay. With larger teams, there tends to be a greater amount of politics. If you're the quiet type, you may find yourself lost in a shuffle with many of your day-to-day contributions overlooked. For larger teams, I found the more assertive types to tend to have the greater success. Now, I want to talk about how to flourish in a large company. So whether you consider yourself outgoing, take charge kind of worker, or a thoughtful introvert who likes to keep to yourself, the same rule applies for succeeding and within a larger company. If you want to get the most from your experience and make a bold impression with the suits upstairs, you want to incorporate the following practices into your everyday work life. Number 1, be a leader, not a follower. It's so tempting just to sit back and let your more assertive or more brown-nosing, see what I did there, colleagues call the shots and make the life or death decisions. But if you want to get noticed, you want to win respect to your peers and superiors, you need to demonstrate that you have ideas and you're not afraid to push for them. Number 2, make an effort to connect with your boss. Now, when you work as part of a large company, it's sometimes very easy to avoid managers altogether and remain quietly cocooned in an unsuspecting cubicle. Sometimes you'll have managers and they're not even located in the same building, in the same state, sometimes in a different country. But in my opinion, this is always a mistake. So, if your bosses can't even remember your name after 6 months, not only will you be overlooked for valuable promotion and raises, but you may be viewed as expendable if the company ever decides to lay off workers. So again, you want to be a leader, you want to make an impact, but you also want to make sure you have a connection with your boss. This person is supposed to be there for your best interest to help you get to the next level. And this, I'm not talking about bringing them brownies or cookies or being a suck up. You just need to be genuine and honest and try to establish a connection and build a relationship. Number 3, which I'm kind of torn about this one, but at least for the first 30 to 90 days, I highly suggest getting into this habit. Be one of the first people to arrive and be one of the last people to leave. Now, again, some people live by this. Some people think it's stupid. But I do think perception is very important. And when you work at a larger organization, you do want to show that you are a dedicated hard worker. So I'm not saying you need to arrive every day at 6 a.m. and remain to death until the cows come home. It just means you need to demonstrate the kind of commitment your coworkers lack. Large companies are highly competitive. And thriving in this environment requires more than simply doing a good job. You need to set yourself apart from the pack. Now, again, as a software developer And this is for, like, think of it in terms of, like Meek Mill says, there's levels to this, guys. You know, if you're a new hire, you're a college hire, you want to be one of the first people there, because you're in a state of constant learning, and you want to be able to get in there, be able to do your reading, be caught up, and be ready to start asking questions and hit the ground running. Now, you don't have to be there the latest, but I think at least establishing an early day allows you to come in, because most people come in, bigger companies, around anywhere from 8 to 9, depending on where you work. Like, try to get there 30 to 40 minutes before everybody. And literally, you'd be surprised how much time you save and how effective you can be just getting there a little bit earlier. Number 4. Avoid disputes like the plague. Oh, Caleb, what do you mean, dude? You got a story to tell? No, I ain't got no story to tell, but this is this good old valuable old man experience. But when you join a large company, you may notice that, sadly, the environment can become a lot like high school. Workers will stab each other in the back, spread nasty rumors, and even form alliances and rivalries. Trust me, I have seen it. And I've always thought of it like, it's so funny how things can change. Because you might have somebody who has no confidence, very shy, very introverted, and then all of a sudden they get put on the next big thing, and they're walking around with their chest popped out and filling themselves and talking to everybody like, you know what I work on? I work on the biggest project in the company. If the drama has nothing to do with you, just stay out of it. And if you do become a target of juvenile behavior, don't retaliate. Take matters straight to human resources and demand a civil conflict resolution. If you let the bad eggs drag you down, your standing with the company will suffer just as much as those who initiate the conflict, maybe more. So those are just 4 tips I have for people working in bigger organizations. And some things I do want to highlight before I switch over to smaller organizations is bigger organizations, normally where they win a lot of times is the pay in terms of salary. Some organizations do promise bonuses. Smaller organizations can pay out bonuses, but a bigger organization can probably hire you and be like, we pay quarterly bonuses or semi-annual or annual bonuses or something like that. Some type of financial incentive. In terms of benefits, it's not always the case, but bigger organizations might have more luxurious benefits. You work at Google, for example, you get 16 weeks paternity, maternity leave. If you're about to have a family and get 16 weeks to stay at home with your newborn, that is an amazing benefit a lot of people wish they had. Some organizations only do 2 weeks. And even though it's better than nothing, you do question, like, am I working for the right organization? Depending on where you are in your life. I'm always a big pusher for education. However, I'm also a big pusher of getting out of debt. Larger organizations normally do a better job by investing in their employees, in a sense that if you want to get your master's or something higher, some type of higher education degree, even if you want to get your bachelor's or something, any type of higher ed, you know, larger organization, you're going to have a bigger chance of getting them to help sponsor that than a smaller company. And sometimes this, the benefit of working at a bigger company is because there's so many people. You might see people, I don't want to say relax isn't the right word, but you might see them have a different sense of calm because they understand, like, hey, we're a big organization, but it's Friday and we're going to do team outings. We're going to go golfing, go-kart racing, to the movies. Like, bigger organizations can make those events happen mainly because they have the resources to do so. But it's not always the case. Some bigger organizations don't do anything fun like that. So you have to really evaluate the company you're applying for and see if their culture and values match up with yours. But those are a few pros. In terms of cons, again, we kind of talked about it towards how to flourish. Cons are not doing all those things.
Caleb, how do you know so much about big and small companies comparisons?
I wouldn't say I know a lot about the comparison, but for me, I've had the chance to work at 4 amazing companies, and it's literally been small company, bigger company, small company, big company. Like, I think my very first job out of school, the company I worked for, it had a parent company, but the organization I worked for, the office itself, it felt like it was 100 people. And in terms of tech, there's really only 3 people I can go to. One who went to Microsoft, one who's still an IT person, and then it was myself. And that was a very interesting situation to be in, because when you work for a smaller organization, you wear many different hats, which is what I'm going to in a minute. But I've also worked at bigger organizations, and I remember my first big organization was really cool because, again, amazing benefits and a lot of structure. And that's the main difference I see for software developers and tech people in general. And when you work for a smaller company, you're going to have less structure. And depending on where you are in your career, that can be a good thing or a bad thing. Sometimes less structure allows you, the person himself or herself, to really come in and make an impact and really provide structure or really lay out, like, this is how we do it here. When you work at a larger organization, it's harder to come in and be like, hey, we're not using Jira, we're going to use Trello. You know, we're not using Git, we're going to use Bitbucket or Subversion or something like that. Like, it's harder to come in and be like, hey, we're going to start using these technologies and we're going to start skinning the cat this way. You know, it's much more difficult to come in and just flip everything around. It's hard to do that at either organization, but at least at a smaller organization with less structure being there, there's areas for you to flourish. But at the same time, like anything else, it can be a blessing or a curse. But let's dive into how to flourish within a smaller organization. Now, as I mentioned, if you have the kind of personality that flourishes in a small group environment, then that's definitely the way you should go. There's a long-standing myth that small groups can't accomplish the same kinds of major feats that a large team is capable of. But that's just nonsense. I've always looked at it like, you don't need a million cooks in the kitchen. You can get a phenomenal Thanksgiving dinner with 1 to 2 cooks in the kitchen. You don't need all of Whole Foods in the back making dinner for 1 people. So for me, like, when I think of smaller organizations, like, sometimes I think to myself, like, startups and small group organizations, they're really trying to change the game. And they're trying to, you know, do something that hasn't been done before. Now, of course, there's always the risk of a smaller organization going under. But if you're very fortunate, if you do your research, and remember, again, you have to do your research. Like, if you're interviewing at a smaller organization, and even a larger organization, you want to ask, like, why are you hiring? Google what's happened over the last 6 months. I remember interviewing at a company, and somebody was like, oh yeah, we're growing rapidly. We're growing. And I was like, that's interesting, because I just saw an article 3 months ago that you laid off like 150 plus people. So what was that about? Was it IT? Was it something else? And the person was honest. He was like, oh, we actually got rid of a lot of our sales because the way our product is designed, we don't feel like we needed that many people cold calling. We thought the product sold itself. But my point being is, you do want to do thorough research for any company you're going to work for. Now, going back to my point, I'm going to break it down again, 4 points, how to thrive as part of a smaller company. So again, if you think about joining a small but spirited team, you will be excellent. Smaller company will be excellent for you. Now, while big businesses can seem overwhelming, smaller operations come with their own set of challenges. Don't assume you can just skate by on your own skill alone. If you want to ensure maximum job security and enjoy your time in office, you're going to need to keep the following in mind. 1, maintain a positive attitude. I cannot stress how important this is. This is so important for small businesses because you're a part of a tight-knit community. You can't just disappear into the shadows like you can in a large business environment. Your attitude affects other people. And if you're constantly dragging your coworkers down with negativity, stress, personal frustration, it will inevitably hurt your standings with the company. Number two, always give 110%. You gotta keep it 110, not even 100. Okay, so this may sound like Little League baseball cliche. Come on, Billy, get out there and give 110%. I'm trying, Dad, but I suck. No, I need 110%. Come on, Billy. I don't even know what movie I got that from. I'm sorry. But to get the point across, you know, one disadvantage to working for a small company is that the work you will do will typically be held to a higher scrutiny. More work needs to be accomplished with fewer resources, and chances are no one else is going to bear any of the weight of your responsibilities. The smaller the business, the more that rests on your shoulders. I can relate to this so well. The people who encouraged me to help start this podcast, I'm never going to forget. I was on a scrum team of four, if you want to count or QA and project manager, maybe six total, right? But it's a scrum team of four. And as a team, we were okay in terms of like velocity and, you know, being able, your throughput and all the numbers that project managers look for. But my next team, scrum team of three, that team was so much harder for me to be on because I had two phenomenal engineers and I had myself. And I felt like I was still learning a lot, but gosh, it was so hard for me. Like, I remember having one-on-one with my boss, and he's like, I feel like you're struggling because I want you to perform more. And I remember sitting there like, yeah, my old team, we will all rely on like one person, but I didn't realize how much that was masked. Whereas my new team, they were like, dude, everybody's pretty self-sufficient, so you either get with the program or you're on your own, or you're not going to be here. I remember one story I got. My coworker to my left was super stressed. My coworker to my right was busy. And I hated asking our lead any questions because he just wasn't that helpful. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, crap, I'm on my own. I remember calling my buddy, like, dude, I don't know if I can do this. And he was like, you can do it, man. He's like, just sit down, power through it. And I remember, like, it was one of those good developer moments where I actually figured something out. Light bulb went off, another light bulb went off, and I finished something on my own. And I finished something else on my own, and then the confidence started to come back. But I remember there was like a dark, dark moment I had because it was the, again, smaller organization. And on my previous team, you know, I had a lot of people kind of, we all pulled each other's weight a little bit. But on my new team, it was like, we all pulled our own weight. And if you're not pulling, man, it's like, it's not looking good. So that was very tough for me because, you know, I would see my two coworkers have one-on-ones and talk to people, you know, go on walks. And I was sitting there like, oh man, that doesn't look good because they never take me on walks. And I didn't know what they were talking about, whether they were talking about me or talking about something else. But, you know, those things kind of play in your head. So again, always give 110%. Because for me, once I started doing that, I stopped caring about other stuff. Because I was like, look, I sat here, I put in my hours, and I did best I could. And like once you start doing that, you start leaving work comfortable, and even if you're on the verge of being fired, you can at least get fired knowing like, ah, oh, I did my best. It just wasn't meant to work. That didn't happen to me, by the way, but I'm just pointing out there, give 110. Number three, be open to change. Small businesses often amend their strategies at the drop of a hat. You may notice that your responsibility changed from time to time, and even the very structure of the company evolves rapidly in order to stay competitive. If you're a creature of habit, this could be super stressful. But the fact is that a small businesses have a very malleable, and you're in for a very bumpy, bumpy ride. Just accept the fact that changes are beyond your control and be prepared to wear numerous hats. So I'll give you guys a quick story. I had a coworker at a smaller organization where she got promoted, and she was doing great work. And I never worked with her personally, but I knew a lot of people liked her. But I knew some people really didn't like her. And again, when you think you get promoted, you almost like, dude, I got another 6 months of job security unless I really mess something up. I shit you not, 2 weeks later, she got fired. And I was like, what? How does that happen? And it's mainly because they promoted her because one leader in the company wanted things to go a more marketing approach focus. And then that person either left or moved or something happened. I'm talking about somebody higher up. And then the person who replaced that person was like, I want to be more tech focused, which I don't like that person, which means she's not going to be here. And that was just crazy to me because I'm like, dude, that all happened within like a 2 months, within a month period. Like, it happened so fast. As a software developer, this can be super frustrating because you might be working on something that's the next big thing, and then they're like, nah, forget it, can it? We need you to start doing this. You need to start doing legacy code support. And you're like, I don't even know anything about this. They're like, well, you have to learn and have to support it. So smaller organizations, because they're trying to make money. End of the day, cream, cash rules, everything around me. They're trying to make money. And just remember, those are facts. So just be open to it. When things happen, don't try to resist. Don't fight it. Don't complain. Just be like, that's just the day in the life of being at a smaller company. Wearing numerous hats could be good and bad. I laugh because I was on a team where we were very agile focused, and we had our stand-ups, we had retros, we had refinement, you know, and over time we became a self-forming team. My next team was supposedly on the biggest product that the company was working on that year, and we had no agile processes. So I started trying to fill that role, but then people started looking at it like, do you want to be the scrum master? Do you want to be the project manager? And I was like, no, but we're not organized, and literally there's textbooks that say companies lose so much money because they don't adapt agile processes. So it was interesting because it was a change for me that I was on one team where agile was super supported and another team where it wasn't supported within the same organization. You know, just because you say you're agile doesn't mean you are. And if you're a person where you feel like you can fill a gap or a void, wear that hat. But just make sure it doesn't affect your other work. And, you know, that was an interesting situation to be a part of because I just remember thinking to myself, like, it's hard to be a team when you just are counting on people who've been here and they know what's happened over the last 6 months or a year. Because what happened was slowly those people started leaving. And every time somebody left, it was harder to fill that role because there were too many gaps to fill in. And lastly, number four. Guess what I'm going to say, guys? Be the first person to arrive in the morning and the last person to leave in the evening. Does that sound familiar? Again, this is my advice for anybody, new hire, starting a new job. You want to leave a good, you want to build a good perception of yourself. So I suppose some truths are universal in any job environment, but it doesn't matter how small or large a company. The more you demonstrate your commitment to the company, the more successful you will be. And that's what it comes down to, is just demonstrating your commitment. Now, ultimately, we've talked about a lot today, but you have to find what works best for you. You have to think of your own personality. You have to do you have more fun at large parties or small social gatherings? You know, this may give you some insight as to what type of work environment works best for you. And of course, do your research before joining a company. You know, there are a lot of companies out there, and taking on any job, you know, is a very big decision, and it's going to change your life. Like, if depending on if you're, especially if you're taking a tech job, you know, you're going to be seeing these people 40 to 60 to 70 hours a week. You might see them more than you see your friends or family, you know, and you just want to remember that whatever organization you pick, you want to enjoy going to work. I've had positions where I love the people, love the culture, but it's hard for me to go to work every day. And I've had positions where I love the culture, I love my job, but I just felt I was in a toxic environment that I had to get out of. Luckily, I finally found a position that I think is going very, very well. I enjoy my team because I feel like we're teammates, but also friends. Like, we do hang out with each other outside of the job, which is something I didn't have in my last job. So, you know, depending on where you're going to work, really consider, sit down, think about some of the topics we talked about today, and, you know, make this decision, but make it a wise decision. But I'm out. We back, guys, every Tuesday 8 a.m., dropping episodes. Happy Thanksgiving. Eat some turkey. Gobble, gobble. We out. Peace. Hey, Day One listener, thank you so much for supporting me and the People in Tech podcast. But just in case you're not getting your tech needs fulfilled, we have another great podcast we want you to check out. Sharon, tell them what we're talking about.
Sure, Caleb. You should check out Techathlon. It is a tech news podcast with a twist. A weekly podcast that catches you up on the latest tech news through games, trivia, and, usually, friendly competitions. Each episode starts with the Techathlon Decathlon, featuring 10 questions on the top tech news following a rotating roster of puzzles, quizzes, and winner-take-all debates. Subscribe now to the Techathlon, Techathlon, podcast on Spotify. You can also learn more at popsk.com.